Lord, begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. As it was the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Again, one more plug. This Holy Thursday and Good Friday, get as many people as we can all over the world to pray those last 24 hours of the Passion and really focus on repairing and redoing in the name of everyone and everything. I think God has given us this time that the Little Children of Holy Divine Will in Brazil has thought of. And I think this is really, really important that we, in a new and powerful way, this Holy Thursday and Good Friday, work with God through Luisa to bring this great, great blessing. So today we're on, last part is volume 27, 11, 20, 19, 29. Now, daughter of my volition, you must know. Again, here is a command from Jesus Christ. You must know this. You have to understand, to live in the divine will, you have to understand this, that I am order. So he uses God's name, I am, showing us who he is. He's divine order. Therefore, all of my works are ordered. Look how ordered is creation. The purpose of creation was man. Yet I did not create man as first. Had I done it, it would have been, it would not have been orderly. Where to put this man? Where to place him? Without the sun that would illuminate him, without the pavilion of the heavens that would function as room for him, without plants that would nourish him, everything would be disordered. And my fiat reordered and creation created everything. And after it, I formed the most beautiful dwelling of God, and I created Adam. So he says, he prepared everything for Adam. Okay, now this is important for us. So, he says, I was to make the ancient disordered earth of your human will disappear in order to call back the order of the divine fiat in the depth of your interior. So God is going to bring back, God is going to get rid of this disorder of the human will with our fiat, okay? And making the ancient earth of your whole being disappear. All the corruption, all the failures, all the human inadequacies, everything's going to be repaired. Everything's going to be redone. Jesus says this. He says, making the ancient earth of your whole being disappear would make the heavens, the sun, the sea, a seas of surprising truths rise again with its creative strength. Everything's going to, the new heavens and the new earth, which Our Lady says to get ready for, are coming. This abundant life is very close. And so Jesus has given us the way and the how this is going to happen. And that's with the Book of Heaven. Everything that he taught Luisa was to help us who read it get ready for the kingdom, working with Jesus, working with the Blessed Mother, one through Jesus, Mary, through Luisa. And it says very clearly, with its creative strength. And you know how all this was matured through the cross, okay? Christ crucified. This is the most important thing. Jesus crucified. Meditate on Christ crucified. Spend time in front of the Blessed Sacrament, the monstrance, praying, fasting, doing penance, convert during this Lenten season. Through the segregating you from everything. And that's the other thing too. God is segregating us from our family, our friends, our neighbors, our coworkers, our hobbies. He's separating us from all the things that we were interested in before. We have to be set apart, okay? A lot of people, you know, are addicted to things. And we have addictive personalities. He's taken that all away from us. He's freeing us from our addictions. This is the beauty. And all we have to do is cooperate. Like, for example, I told the children, get rid of the television. Don't watch television. And it's the hypnotic eye of death. Whether you're 8 or 80, you're sitting there focused on television. And again, what about, are they, you know, you can watch good things and holy things. But even that, focus on reading. Our job is to read and study and put into practice these truths. Okay? The suggestion for Holy Mass, if you can't make Mass, God bless you. Adoration, it's important. But not to be addicted to sports, not to be addicted to the ugliness that is out there. Be free of that, you know, that hypnotic eye of death. Get, you know, use it for your advantage. Not that it's advantage on you. So again, it's very, very clear. Segregating you from everyone, your family, your friends, your neighbors. When you begin to live in the divine will, they don't want to associate with you. The people that call you that want to complain, stop complaining, because you just say fiat, everything's fine. Say fiat, everything's fine. Say fiat. Then they don't want, you know, misery loves company. Then you're freed from telephone calls. Get to let the Lord lead you and guide you to himself. Sit down on the couch with Jesus, reading the volumes. Sit down on the couch and listen to Jesus. He's speaking to you. It says very clearly, making you live on earth as if it were not earth for you. That's what God wants. But heaven. No more worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity, or sin. No more addictions. No more wasting your time. They said, what was it, years ago, that the children on their iPhones, they estimated, this is I think 3 years ago or 4 years ago, estimated 60 million hours. Or was it 6 million? Hours wasted on the phone. That's 6 million hours of wasted time where you could be having Jesus speak to you, teaching you, guiding you. As he speaks to you, he heals your DNA. He's freeing you from all that your ancestors gave you. I mean, we look at our ancestors, we got to really pray. We got to repair. We got to redo for everyone and for everything. And God has given us this time to do this. And this is so, so glorious. So Jesus says, live on earth. It was not earth for you, but heaven, keeping you always absorbed, either with me, Jesus says, or the Son of my divine fiat. Okay, so God is saying, I've got plans. And when we are in his plans, how glorious is this? 5:28, 8:2, 19:30. I was thinking about the many truths that blessed Jesus had told me about on his divine will, and that only to obey I had written on paper that some people, in reading these truths, not only are not taken by these truths, but it seems to me that they hold these truths, they hold them as truths not to be taken into consideration. And I felt pain because of this. That's what's happening with our friends, our family, our neighbors. I've had so many people say, you know, I haven't got time for that. And it's like, wow, Jesus says this. And they go, I don't care. And it seems to me that they seem like many suns, one more beautiful than the other, capable of illuminating the whole world. But for others, instead, it seems to me that they have not even the virtue of warming it and giving it a little bit of light. People don't want the divine will. That's why Jesus says, the human will is so strong. Will you do this for others? Will you do this for your family? Will you do this for all my children? And when we say, yes, God goes, good, I'll take care of it. You do what I want, Jesus says, and I'll do what you want. So you're going to see a lot of people not wanting the divine will. It's their loss, but we're going to get it for them. And we stand in the breach as Moses stood in the breach for the Jews. We stand in the breach for all mankind. That's what Jesus is asking. 5:29, 6:3, 19:31. Now, since my divine will possesses this continuous act by nature, it cannot or does not want it to change regime. Just as it gives us this continuous act of good in heaven, so does it give it to all creation, to all creatures, to each one, because all receive life from this divine will and its continuous act. If the divine will ceased, all life would cease on heaven and on earth. At the most, There can be changes of effects because it acts according to the dispositions of each soul. Therefore, its same continuous act produces for some one effect, for some another, and there are some who, unfortunately, while being under the reign of this continuous act of light, of sanctity, of unity, and more, remain not even wet or illuminated or holy or beautiful, and convert within themselves the continuous act of good into darkness, into passion, and maybe even to sin. But in spite of all this, my divine will never ceases its continuous act of pouring its divine good over everyone, because it finds itself in the condition of the sun that even if human beings or trees or plants or flowers would not want to receive the light of the sun, that would communicate the many admirable effects and that its continuous act of light contains, that its sweetness, flavor, beautiful iris of all colors would continue its act of always giving light. But if the sun had reason, it would cry with tears of burning light for the sorrow of seeing the great wheel of its light and all its goods that in reality it gives are not but are not received. My divine will is more than sun, Jesus says. It keeps everyone and everything enveloped with its infinite divine light. Its nature is always wanting to give, and in fact, it gives. If everyone took, everyone would be holy. The world would change into divine happiness. But with its highest sorrow, with its goods are not received, but rather rejected into its very light, yet it does not stop. With tender and superable love, it continues its continuous act of giving what its light possesses. So Jesus is saying, the divine will is constantly asking us, pleading with us, enter into this life. Enter into this life of Jesus and Mary. Enter this life of the new Adam and the new Eve. And most people say thank you, but no thank you. And those are kind words. Jesus says, do this for them. That's what he's saying. Volume 30, 1:3, 22, 32. My daughter, my divine will is light. The human will is the dark room in which the poor creature lives. As my divine will enters into this dark room, it remains all invested by this light that illuminates everything. So as you read this, you're being illuminated. You have to understand the illumination of conscience that's coming is the divine will. Those that are reading it will radiate in divine light as Jesus reveals more of who he is. Those that don't want this will remain in darkness, and they'll be terrified, knowing that they chose to live in their misery, their human will, rather than giving up their human will, the fallen human nature, and entering into the divine will. He says, even the most remote and hiding places of the soul, it makes itself light of the thought, light of the word, light of the works, light of the steps, but with a marvelous variety, as though it takes on a variety of colors animated by the light. The word takes on another variety of colors, the actions, the steps, the variety of another variety of colors. And as the soul repeats the thought, the words, the actions, the steps, animated by the light of my divine will, so are the tones of the divine colors formed, the beauty of it. It is that they are all colors animated by divine light. Oh, how beautiful it is to see the creature animated by the iris of our divine colors. It is one of the most beautiful scenes that the soul presents back to us God and makes us God enjoy, looking at the soul in the divine will. We look at the soul. We see that those are nothing other than the reflections of our thoughts, divine thoughts, of our actions, divine actions, and so forth. That has formed that variety of our divine colors, of our divine will, makes this display of divine light in the acts of the soul who, with her sweet enchantment, enraptures us triune God and makes us triune God spectators of our own acts. And oh, how we triune God await with all love the repetition of these scenes so beautiful and so delightful to us, God. Do you see what God's teaching us? He's teaching us how to be in his image and likeness. He's teaching us how to give up the fallen and embrace the divine. He's teaching us how to begin to live this illuminated life that he gave to Louisa. Wait till you see the miracles that are going to happen through Louisa. She is more than a little saint. When you get to know Louisa, you begin to understand how much God loves mankind. You know, Jesus and Mary, the life of Jesus and Mary is found in Louisa. We don't go to Louisa for Louisa. She's the vehicle to get to know Jesus, to get to know Mary. The more you know Louisa, the more you fall in love with Jesus and Mary. She's the newborn of the divine will. She's the firstborn of the divine will. Those are the titles that Jesus gave to Louisa. Volume 30, 1932. You must know. Again, a command from Jesus Christ. You must know this. You must understand what I, God, want you to begin to breathe in you. He says, I want this rule of God, this breath of God to be in you. I want to fill you with divine life. You must know that the love of the divine will of mine is so great that it uses all the arts. It acts as a spy. It blows its breath upon the soul, Louisa. It acts as her mother. It rocks her in its arms. It acts as her sentry. It watches over her. This is what God wants. He says, what I've done with Louisa, I want to do with you. You're never going to be alone. You're never going to be isolated from God. You're always going to be fused with God, one with God. It acts as her queen and it dominates her. It acts as a sun to her and illuminates her. It offers itself even to serve her. And when it wants to deposit in you, Louisa, its knowledges, its truths, even just word of one of its words, what does it do? It blows its breath upon you, the Ruah of God. As God breathed into the dust, what came out of the dust was the image and likeness of God. That's what he's redoing with us. Every word that you read, it's a new puff of the Ruah of God. That's what Jesus tells Louisa. It blows its breath upon you so much that first it forms in you its basin of divine love, divine light, in order to enclose its divine truths in the basin of its divine love, divine light that it formed in you. You begin to belong to God in a new and powerful way. You begin to experience the love of God in a way that the saints talk about. They hint at, but this is much, much different. You remember the ecstasy of Saint Teresa of Avila, the ecstasy of Saint Catherine of Siena. That's a glimpse of what the divine will is. You cannot believe how much our God loves us. But as you read the Book of Heaven, everything changes for you. You fall in love with the Holy Church. There's nothing to worry about. Jesus says the gates of hell will not prevail against his church. There's nothing to worry about. But you have to understand, we are living in unique times, different times than ever before. So it entrusts its truths to its own love, to its divine light, knowing that only its divine love can have true interest in keeping them, in spurring you on. See, this is God doing this. So that they may not remain hidden. God wants to be known, to be loved, to be possessed. He wants this. And this is what the divine will is all about. Volume 31, 7, 24, 1932. Okay. If our word says goodness, divine will, it is because we want to give the gift of our divine goodness and our divine will, that the soul may be at the same level with our divine goodness and our divine will. See, this isn't God dominating. God created us so that he could share with us his divinity. It's not a ugly, powerful God. It's a loving, gentle God who says, look it, I want you to have what I have. Do you want it? And when we say yes, then he says, okay, you got to prove to me that you want it. How do we prove to Jesus that we want the divine will? By reading, studying, and putting into practice the truths. Again, the calendar is one of the best things to do this with. Like I said, in a year from now, if you begin the calendar today, a year from now, you're going to be a completely different person. You cannot stay the same. Jesus is speaking to you. and it changes you completely. So God wants us at the same level of God's goodness and will, and may keep up the contest with her supreme being. See, it's a game. Jesus says, I want to play. Do you want? He's, and one of the things we did was, do you want to play a game with me? That's what Jesus says. And he says, I want you to win. This is why, that you may keep up the contest with the supreme being. Then he says, you cannot comprehend our divine contentment in seeing the creature endowed with these divine qualities of God, which our word is the bearer. So you're talking about Jesus, but as Jesus speaks, he gives this to us. As you hear Jesus speak, as you read, as you study, as you put this into practice, what happens at that point is God is changing you. God is transmuting you. And that's the thing that is, it's so pleasing to God, because finally, he says, after 6,000 years, finally, someone wants to go back to where we were before the fall. Wants to give up the human misery, the fallen nature, even though we're redeemed, to enter into the sanctified. Creation, redemption, and now sanctification is coming. Our God is loves us so much. And since it is our usual way, God's way, to direct our word to one creature, our word is yet so fecund, so powerful, so full of light as to act like the sun formed by one of our words, one word of Jesus. There's 10,000 pages in the divine will that you can read in a year. And he says this, formed by one of our words, that in one word blows this, breathes this light of illumination and to all, and gives the good of that the light possesses to the souls who breathe it in. What is the illumination of conscience about? Read the book of heaven and you will find out. For each one of us is something different. God loves our uniqueness. We have different irises. We have different fingerprints. We have different sounds, voices, heights, colors, shapes, size. He loves how he has created us. He has made us so unique that our DNA is different from everybody. He wants us to be so one with him that he says, the mystical marriage, we understand that, this marriage between God and man, he says, heaven is the wedding feast for all eternity. He says, I'm going to marry the Holy Church collectively as his bride. But he said to Louisa, I'm also going to marry each soul individually, as if you had your own personal Jesus. Unique to you, no one else. So you can love God, and this is what God's going to teach you. You can love God greater than any other human on earth. How? In your unique way. No one can love God the way you can love God. And Jesus is waiting for you to enter into this life with him. It's not the prayers of the saints, you know, the rote prayers that we pray. I know we love them, but it's to enter into the life with Jesus. Jesus praying and you're praying. Mary praying and you're praying. What happens is it's a new beginning for you. And if you dare, double dog dare you, if you dare, you can begin to have a relationship with God that the saints dreamed of. They knew how to do the will of God. Jesus is teaching you how to live in the will of God. This is what's so magnificent. Volume 32, 6:15, 1933. My daughter, your desire to be nourished by my nourishing word wounds my heart. Think of this. Your desire to read each word that Jesus speaks wounds his sacred heart. Nobody is with Jesus. St. Margaret Mary said, love is not loved. She's talking about the Sacred Heart of Jesus. Love is not loved. When you want to be nourished by the words that Jesus spoke to Louisa, You are wounding his sacred heart. And I wounded, I run to you to give you what? My divine nourishment that I alone as God can give you. No one can give the divine nourishment but Jesus. Jesus feeds us with his first bread. Jesus, this is the perennial communion that Adam had before the fall. It's the perennial communion that Jesus had with the Father, one with the Father. That's what's coming. Our Lady is the daughter of the Father, the mother of the Son, the spouse and temple of the Holy Spirit, a perennial communion with God. My word is divine life. He's speaking that to us as we read. My word forms in you the divine life, forms in you its divine light, and illuminates you, leaving you with the illuminating virtue that always gives you divine light. It is divine fire that makes warmth arise within you. It is divine food, and it divinely nourishes you. Do you see what God is doing? He's asking us. We're living in tough times, and he's asking us, do you want the kingdom? He says, I've chosen you to live at this time. Do you want the kingdom? Then he says, okay, read, study, put this into practice. Begin to hear Jesus with your heart, your mind, your soul. Begin to be nourished by his word, his divine life, his divine light, his divine love. That's what the divine will is. You're going to hear things that I will never be able to hear because of who you are. And therefore, listen to Jesus as he's speaking to you. Read this, study this, enter into this abundant life. That's why he created you to be alive at this time. That's why he predestined you to live at this time. This is the most marvelous time to be alive. All that's happening, Jesus says, watch what I'm going to do. All that's happening, he says, I am the Lord. Nothing's going to happen to my church. He says, my children, he said, this is what he says. And you have to understand this. The four things that he said to Louisa. Number one, there's going to be a great chastisement that's going to basically, the majority of the world will be gone. The three purifications, the purification of the flood, where the world was recreated, if you want to say, the purification of Jesus on the cross, shedding out every drop of blood to wash the world clean. The third purification is a fire. And as we read, this fire is beautiful. It's the life of God. It's the love of God that's coming upon the earth, symbolized by the Sacred Heart of Jesus and the Immaculate Heart of Mary. Most people don't want Jesus or Mary. Most people don't want. And so that fire will be the wailing and grinding of teeth. So that's the first thing. Large majority of humanity will be gone. It's a fact. We know that's coming. Number two, Jesus says that my mother is marking all the little children the holy divine will. So we are marked. And Jesus says, once you're marked, no harm can come to you. Number three, the children marked by Our Lady, the chastisement will have little or no effect. Those are words of Jesus. It'll have little or no effect upon those children. And the fourth, he says, the survivors of this great chastisement will be the little children of the holy divine will. Why? Because they've already begun to live in the new era. They're already ready to live in the new era. And so Jesus is looking at us and he's saying, do you want this life? Do you want this abundant life? He says, I'm wrapping the show up. get ready. Everything's coming to an end. It's not the end of the world. It's the end of Lucifer and his reign. If we are addicted to anything that is not of God, it has to stop. How does that happen? Read. Watch what Jesus will do. Study this great gift of the divine will. Watch what Jesus will do. Put it into practice. Watch what Jesus will do. He will free us from ourselves. That's what God's got planned. Okay, 330, volume 32, 8/6/1933. But while my sweet Jesus was saying this, he made me see the celestial queen, the Blessed Mother. And from within her immaculate heart came out a son that invaded the whole celestial court. The entire earth and its rays were formed of the most refulgent light of speaking voices that spoke to God and to the saints and to the angels and to all the creatures of the earth. So my celestial mother still possesses her continued speaking, her speaking son that speaks to her God with voices of speaking light that loves God, glorifies God in a divine manner. It speaks to the saints and acts toward them as a beautifying mother and bearer of joy to the whole celestial court. It speaks to the earth, and as mother, Our Lady shows us the way to lead us to heaven. And my beloved Jesus added, see then what it means to live in the divine will. She lives in the divine will, one with Jesus, and now the newborn, Luisa, possesses this. She's the firstborn, first human born of original sin. See then what it means to live of divine will. One acquires continuous acting, continuous speaking, continuous loving. And what comes out from within my divine will possesses the operating, the illuminating, the perpetuating virtue. Therefore, they are triumphant acts that conquer God. This is the triumph of the Immaculate Heart of Mary that we are going to enter into. And you can begin to enter into it now, if you wish. Little by little, no one possesses this fully, but little by little, you become free of worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity, and sin. That's what God's waiting for. He says, when I find the souls that want the divine will more than anything, I will give it to the world, which means he hasn't found anybody yet. He's depending on us. He's testing us every day. And he's saying to us, you know, continue. Volume 33, 128, 1934. My love, yet one cannot see in the creatures the fruit of so great a universal good. My love, yet one cannot see in the creatures the fruit of so great a Catholic good. Oh, if all were to receive it, how many transformations would occur in the low world? And Jesus replied, this means that they do not receive it with love, and their hearts are like sterile earth with no generative seed to which our light, our divine light, could bring fecundity. It happens to the sun that although it illuminates and warms all the lands, yet if it does not find the seed in order to fundicate it, it cannot communicate its generative and productive virtue. And even though, listen to this, with its light and its heat, it has molded that land, it has received no good. What it was, so it has remained in its sterility. But in spite of this, the sun was left honored and glorified, having given its light. Yet no one was able to escape it. And it remains triumphant for the mere fact that it gave its light in a universal way, a Catholic way. See, this is what's coming to the church, to all and over everything. Such are our divine works, Jesus says, our divine acts. They're mere possessing the inextendable virtue of being able to give themselves in a universal way, Catholic way, to everyone. And doing good to everyone, it is the greatest honor and it is the greatest glory for us, Triune God. Don't worry about anything. The Catholic life is what God wants to get of us. The universal life is what Adam had. He lost it. Again, Adam lived the life of integrity, impassibility, immutability, and immortality. The saints didn't have that. The saints couldn't possess it. Why? You had to be in God's image and likeness to possess that. This is the Catholic life that God is going to give back to the church, back to mankind. This Catholic life, this universal life, is what we're getting ready for. So Jesus says to us, begin to live this life now. Don't wait until after you're dead. He says, if you begin to live this life now, he says, you won't have purgatory. How does that happen? Very simply, Jesus is reigning. To live this life is to have Jesus gaze in your gazing, listen in your listening, walk in your walking, speak in your speaking, talk in your talking, dance in your dancing, swim in your swimming. You let Jesus reign. You be his skin. Let him reign on earth again. It's not just to be good and holy and saintly. Jesus says, I want you to share in my divinity. This is what God is waiting for. And how do you get there? How does this happen? The more you read, the more you study, the more you put this into practice, the more Jesus speaks to you every day, leading you, guiding you, directing you with this book of heaven, the kingdom will be established. I mean, it's going to happen. Jesus said in volume 24, he said that the kingdom will be established on earth as it is in heaven as if by magic. All of a sudden it'll be here. And everyone will say, how did this happen? How did this occur? And Jesus said it happened because of Luisa and the souls linked to Luisa. He's depending on us to accomplish this. How do we accomplish it? By giving our fiat every day, throughout the day. By wanting to be close to Jesus. Wanting to listen to Jesus as he speaks to us as we read. Volume 34, 11:3, 1936. My blessed daughter, our infinite love is always excessive and gives of the incredible. We've never seen how much God loves us. We're going to see it. We're going to experience it in the divine will. It is enough to tell you that it is so great that what we triune God, we triune God, do nothing other than reflect ourselves continuously in the creature, image and likeness. The soul lives under our continuous reflections. Again, image and likeness. If we move, our incessant motion reflects in the soul. In order to give her life, our divine love reflects itself in the soul in order to tell the soul continuously, I love you. Every heartbeat, you breathe in. Every breath, it's I love you. You breathe out, I love you. You breathe in, I love you. You breathe out, I love you. Your heart pumps the blood in, I love you. We pump the blood out, I love you. It's a competition that occurs. It's the waves coming in from the ocean. It's the sunrise, it's the sunset. It's a continuous motion that we enter into with God. It's a game that we play with God and God with us. Who can outdo each other with I love you? That's what the divine will is. You become peaceful, full of peace, joyful, full of joy and happy. You begin to live heaven on earth. And your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. That's what God is doing. Okay. Our love reflects itself in the soul in order to tell the soul constantly, I love you. And we give back to God our I love you. Our power reflects itself in the soul. Our divine power reflects itself in the soul. In the soul, in order to sustain the soul. In sum, our divine wisdom reflects itself in the soul. Our divine wisdom directs the soul. Our divine light reflects itself in the soul and illuminates the soul. See, this is where the illumination is coming. The illumination of conscience that you hear about, you want to know what it's about, read the calendar. Read the 36 volumes. Our divine goodness reflects itself. Don't have somebody say, I'll tell you what it's about. Sit down and with Jesus and read it. Oh, I can't read. My eyes are bad. Then listen to it. You can get dream voice. It'll speak to you on your computer, in your iPhone, whatever. Jesus wants to, we are living in extraordinary times where nothing can stop this. Nothing can stop this. Jesus is saying, I want you to be part of my army. I want you to be part of the little children of the Holy Divine Will so that the kingdom can come on earth as it is in heaven. Our divine light reflects itself and illuminates the soul. Our goodness reflects itself and compassionates the soul. Our divine beauty reflects itself and embellishes the soul. This is the divine will. Our supreme being pours itself without ever ceasing over the creature. This is what the divine will is. This is what God is asking of us to agree to. Do you want this? Jesus says, it's more than you can imagine. Do you want to begin to live this life? It's more than you ever could comprehend. He says, be with me. Let me speak to you every day and let me teach you what I have planned. How we're going to go back to before the fall. How it's going to look as if Adam never sinned. Now think about that. If Adam never sinned, that means it's going to look as if we never sinned. Everything's going to be repaired. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful Catholics and kindle us the fire of your love. Send forth your Spirit and we will be recreated. And then you, Holy Spirit, will renew the face of the earth. Great things are in store for the little children of the Holy Divine Will. Great things are in store for the world. And God is asking us, he predestined us to live at this time, to read, study, and put this into practice. So we'll end there with a blessing. May the blood that flowed upon the wood of this cross free us from our human will, that we live in God's holy divine will always. We ask this in Jesus' name, under the mantle of Mary, through the intercession of Louisa, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you, and have a happy Lenten season, and get ready for Holy Week, Holy Thursday, Good Friday. Let's really buckle down. Let's really get this thing going. God bless you.